Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. We've got a special program today. One of our great friends, Dr. Tom Okamoto, is here. He's a psychiatrist and a Christian. Yes, it can happen. And Dr. Sherry Keffer is a psychologist and a Christian at the same time. And so, hey, guys, welcome. Glad you're with me here today. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing great. Great to be with you, Steve.
You know, before the program, Dr. Okamoto and I were talking about a problem. A lot of people aren't aware of this, I think, but the suicide rate of in the medical practice, not a good statistic, is it?
Oh, it's been kind of known by people in the physician world, but lately it's been a lot more difficult for physicians to enjoy being physicians, just with the economics and the type of corporate environment they're in. So a lot of burnout in the medical profession, and unfortunately, it's been a very stressful kind of a lifestyle where doctors are not getting mental health care as much as they need to, and physician suicide is a huge problem these days. So we're involved with the Christian Medical Dental Association, which is a national group, and we're trying to help with those kinds of problems. Conferences that are coming up are all talking about how to enjoy their life in Christ as physicians, and how to battle burnout, and how to be joyful as a physician in the system.
So you know what? I just talked to a doctor this weekend, and I was telling her, I said, what are you doing for your own self-care? How are you taking care of you? And she said, well, I've got all these people I need to take care of. I'm a primary breadwinner in my family. And I said, girl, you need to get on your own gurney. And I think as physicians, right, we can be the worst patients when it comes to our own care and not thinking about what we need because we're so focused on taking care of other people. But eventually it catches up to us.
Well, I think, and you know, a lot of my observations are superficial, but I would imagine that, you know, everybody goes through being disillusioned with their job or their marriage or something like that. But in the case of a physician, it seems like the expectation is higher that they would have had it figured out, or they would be able to, on their own, figure out how to get out of this down mood or whatever, and that pride would prevent them from reaching out to other people. Is that true?
And they're trained throughout their career to be self-reliant and resourceful and brilliant and self-sacrificing, and they get encouraged for that. They get strokes for that. You know, the Christian ones, we hope that there's a lot more resource, that they can take care of themselves and be much more rounded and have a balanced perspective, too. They need to take care of themselves and their families.
All right. Well, we're going to do a program here, and you don't have to be a physician to call. But if you are, we'll talk to you. And really glad that you're with us here today on New Life. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. We're in the studio for a couple hours today. Would love to talk with you. A lot of times, you know, people wait way into the problem. Why not do something when it's not a crisis? Why not reach out before the worst thing? I think it was yesterday, the day before, we had a caller, and she said, if he hits me, I'll leave him. Let's don't wait for the horrible outcome before we do what needs to be done to be safe or move forward in the way that God would have us to move forward. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you today. You call us, 1-800-229-3000.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Hardiman here. Go right to the phones. And here is, well, let's talk with, how about Nancy from Walnut, California. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to New Life. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on in your
Hello?
Life? Hi. Hello, Nancy.
Hi. Hi. I'll try to keep it short because I understand that I tend to go on, but I'm having problems with all my kids, but both two of them, the two oldest ones, are adults, and I'm calling today specifically about my oldest.
What's going on with him?
Frank. He's soon to be 26.
Okay.
And, you know, it's been a really rough road for everyone because my husband and I both grew up in dysfunctional homes, and so we weren't equipped to be parents. Mm-hmm. And as a result, all our kids, I mean, they're wonderful people, but they all have their own wounds and problems.
Sure. Well, tell us about him specifically, what's going on with him.
Yeah, he went through a really difficult childhood, and he was bullied, and he, you know, he was very talented, athletically and everything else, but... Mm-hmm. In high school, he never managed to connect with and make friends, and he was basically doing life alone. And,
okay, so what's going on today?
Well, what's going on today is, you know, I'm very proud of him. He decided that he's a personal trainer, and he's really fantastic at it.
Okay, so what's the problem, though, that we could help you with?
Well, he just recently moved out on his own, and uh-huh. he's, but I could see that he's failing to launch, to move forward. And I just read the book, You Need People by Henry Cloud.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, I'm learning a lot through listening to your program and counseling and things like that. And I can see that specifically, that's my son's main problem. He has no one in his life mm-hmm. that he can really do life with or talk to. No okay. friends, no mentor, no nothing. Yeah.
If I was talking with him,
how important it is. So the thing is, I just feel like the Finding Freedom workshop would be like perfect for him.
Yeah.
But
okay.
yet he's very resistant because it's Christian based. I mean, for 18 years, he came to church with me, and mm-hmm. But when he went through that really dark period, he just totally renounced Christ, and he doesn't even want to hear anything about
okay.
it.
Okay. So your question for us is, how do we get him to, or what's your best chance of getting him to go to finding freedom? Is that it?
Correct. Like, how do I, because I'm not okay. good at communicating with him, and I, even though yeah. I think that our relationship is improving, like any time we talk about anything, since mm-hmm. I could see that, just that trigger that he
well, let us do this first. Yeah. And we'll start uh-huh. with Sherry, and then we'll hear from Dr. Okamoto. Let's talk about your relationship with him, and then we can talk about the workshop. Sherry, you want to get us started on this?
Well, hey, Nancy. I am wondering how long you have had your worry meter on high.
On high?
Yeah. You have a worry meter that's yeah, on high.
My whole entire life.
Yeah.
My whole entire life.
Yeah. And so even when you were a little girl, did you have your worry meter on high?
Yes.
Okay. Can you just, I mean, what happened with your mom and dad? What was going on?
Well, my father was very physically and emotionally abusive
okay.
to my mom.
Sorry.
And, yeah, and I was the oldest of four, and I was, and we were latchkey kids.
Okay.
Honestly, the thing, if the you know, the burning bed with Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah.
That's when I saw that movie.
You could really relate. So yeah, this is what...
And but the only thing is, instead of my mom killing my dad, she ended up killing herself.
Oh, so here, mm-hmm. I am so sorry. So here we were just talking about suicide. We opened the show about suicide, but your own mom took her life. And then you had a physically and emotionally abusive dad. How old were you when she took her life?
I was 18.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you know what I think is happening? I think there is a part of you, because of what's happened in your past, that is really worried and is getting triggered around your son's ability to be on his own. Because mm-hmm. you're worrying yeah. over him. But
I've been worried about him since he was born.
Okay, so born. What's your birth order? What position are you in the family?
I'm the oldest.
And what position is his birth order in the family?
He's the oldest.
Okay, do you know
but
that?
Honestly... But I worry about my other two. As
I
well.
Know, but when you grow up in a home that has been unsafe, when there's been physical and emotional abuse, your brain gets kindled up. It gets turned on high. And there's beliefs that get wired in at all those bad places that sound like this. I'm not in control. I'm powerless. I'm helpless. And so that creates a worry meter that's on high. And I want you to focus in on you, because as long as your worry meter is on high, your son is going to push back from you. He's not going to move towards you. He's going to move away from you because your anxiety is spilling over on him.
Exactly. That's how all three of my kids.
I know. I had a mom come in one time, and I was telling her the same thing I'm telling you, and she couldn't understand why they were all taking steps back. But I had to work with her first.
Yeah, and honestly, I realized that, and that's what I've been doing, and I feel like I'm at a much better place now.
Well, and I love that you're doing the work, but let me say something, and then I want Dr. Okamoto to speak. You know what? There's more to work on. I'm glad you're working, but let me tell you what we're feeling today, right? This is a little litmus test with us. I'm saying, girl, your worry meter's still on high. There's more work to do. And so...
I just want my son to... I mean, he deserves so much.
I know.
And it hurts that I see that he's not going to go any further yeah. without...
No, but the
so
problem.
So we want to help you.
Yeah, the problem is starting with you. I know that's hard to hear.
Well, that's, I want to know how to relate with him better, where
yeah.
he would.
Well, that's what we want to help you.
And Nancy, you know, it sounds like this has been going on a long time, and this is some degree being a parent. You have these blessings of opportunities of growth, and it's painful sometimes. But he can watch you get better. And in your example, he can still see you as a parent. So as you, say, go to counseling, as you start to have friends that are supportive, as you're more involved in other people and in other community issues, and you're getting more healthy yourself when your boundaries are better, then he sees that as an adult, you can learn new things and you can heal, and he can start to kind of open up to the idea that being in relationships and being attached to a bigger picture would be helpful. And that would even be the church. If you're more involved with your church, he can see that that could be a healthy thing. But the more that you're telling him what to do, but you're in pain, he may not want to go there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's another thing. When a parent, as you pointed out, Sherry, where the worry is so strong, sometimes the kids don't launch because they don't learn how to take responsibility, because you're doing all the worrying. You're taking care of cleaning up everything, all the messes. And so they don't, they feel like, well, no matter what happens, she's going to jump in, save the day, because, man, she's worried about everything and she's going to take care of it if anything blows up. And so when we start to live in peace, it turns the reins over to the person who's actually living the life that we're worried about. And I think you're right on there, that the healthier that she can get, the more likely he's going to come out a different kind of kid.
I would love to see Nancy come to Finding Freedom rather yeah. than sending her son right now, because right. I think the healthier, like you said, you both said, she becomes, it's going to bring her to a better place of peace. Mm-hmm. So she has more to give, something more comfortable to offer.
And our adult kids, they're always watching us from age 3 or 4 on. They're looking at you and they're saying, okay, how does life work? Even when they're adults, and the more you get better, Nancy, and the more you work at getting better and connected, he will kind of take note.
Right. Can I ask a quick question of Dr. Akimoto? So if somebody has a worry brain or high levels of anxiety, what are typically diagnostic medications, psychotropics or supplements that you might recommend for them?
Well, if it is a biologic thing, then there are a lot of different symptoms that go on the checklist, like being hypervigilant, being worried about things that are not rationally other people have to worry about. And so there are medications that are helpful sometimes temporarily if you have a big speech to do at work or in front of the whole church, or sometimes people will use temporary medicines to kind of keep the anxiety level in a reasonable place. But if it is the brain having a set point that's too high and you're feeling too much anxiety for little things, antidepressants or different anxiety medicines that we use that help kind of readjust that set point to where it's more of a normal range, which it takes a physician who knows how to look for that. But those can be very life-changing sometimes.
Well, I think it's good insight to know that when the Bible says, don't worry about anything, well, if you know that to be true and you intellectually decide, I'm not going to worry, you do everything you can to surrender and not worry. But there's something that prevents the effort. It feels like the harder I try, the worse it gets. Then maybe it's chemical, maybe it's biological, maybe it's beyond sin or volition. Maybe we need to look at the physiology here. That's what I'd like to encourage. It's just like if somebody says, I'm demon-possessed. Okay, well, go to an exorcist. See if they can get rid of that demon. If they cannot, then now let's look at the other options other than just assuming that this is demon possession. So we need to look at all the options. I'm going to send her a copy. We had Jim Burns on, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. It's a great book. I think she will enjoy that book, and I'll send Take Your Life Back. And I just hope and pray we can work with you and help you And the healthier you get, the more attractive you're going to be to interact with. Your son, I think, will be drawn to you. And then now you've got some presence, some relational connection that will hopefully impact his life in a very, very positive way. I'll get that to you. All right, let's go to Miriam, Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I just heard that music.
Hi, thank
come
you
on.
For taking.
Yeah, hi Miriam. How are you?
Good. Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Yeah, we got to go to a break here.
Okay.
But so hold on. Sorry I brought you on, but you'll just hang in there. You're listening to New Life Live, and it's 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Tom Okamoto, psychiatrist. Dr. Sherry Keffer, psychologist. If you need some help, this is a great day to call us. We'll be in the studio for another hour and a half or so. And so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Now, if you are ready to get help from a counselor, or maybe it's to go to the workshop, Finding Freedom has just blown away so many of these misconceptions and the things that don't go away with effort. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Thomas Okamoto, Dr. Sherry Keffer. This ministry needs your support and needs your help. Larry's in here to talk to us about that. Larry, what do you want to say today that might help someone see this is the place to make a little investment here of resources that could help other folks?
Before I start asking for money, I want to report in on what Brian shared about Every Man's Battle this weekend.
Yes, please.
You know, Jason does a talk, and I wasn't there. It really kills me. I didn't go. You know, we had that trip to Israel and came back, and we had this trip scheduled, and I was sick coming back. So it kills me that I wasn't there because something really special happened. Jason does a talk on Saturday afternoon about, we call it the wife's talk. It's about going home and reentering life and full disclosure and all this stuff. And I guess the room, the guys, there was one man that just... Brian said he thought the guy sneezed, but it was an emotional outburst because Jason kind of shares the pain that their wife went through and that a lot of that pain deals with her as a little girl and growing up and things she has experienced. And the guys get to see sometimes for the first time, wow, God gave them this woman as a gift and they kind of blew it.
Yeah.
And the whole room erupted in emotion. and guys weeping. And I just want people to know that a lot happens at these workshops. And these men, they get to see reality, and their thinking starts to change then. And it's the whole.
And really, if you're a woman, your husband has been unfaithful, or you know he's full of lust, he's looking at pornography, or he's lusting, looking at other women and things, do what so many other women have done. Pick up the phone and call us. But here's the other thing. If you've been blessed by any of that, help us help other people.
There you go.
Or if maybe you haven't come to one of our events, but you know that this is epidemic, that the problem with lust and sexual addiction and all the things that are involved, it's epidemic, and we're doing one person at a time what we can. Come alongside us and help us, and you can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got a special, special gift for you. It's 100 Days of Peace. It's a beautiful devotional book. I think you'll really like it. What else, Larry? What
well,
else are we talking about?
We have this $40,000 matching gift.
Yeah.
And we're getting close to that. We're about $37,000 this morning. So if you can help us close that out today, that would be wonderful. That's been a real blessing to us to get that little influx of money that is helping us pay some bills. Mm-hmm. And that helps us do what we need to do, keep this radio going, the radio program going, the workshops, the counseling. It's just, you make a difference when you give the new life. That's what I want you to know. And
absolutely.
Your help would be deeply appreciated.
Well, join us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll say thank you with a little gift of 100 days of peace. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate
that.
All right, let's go to Miriam, Allentown, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Miriam, tell us what's going on in your life today.
Okay, so I'm married to this narcissistic man for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have many infidelities that I've put up with, and this last time I decided that he had to move out. He's been out of the house for about a year. We had a very violent fight, and I'm a born-again Christian believer, and I told him that I just can't live, you know, in this situation anymore. But I'm having a problem really disconnecting and being able to just stand my ground because I love him. I love him so much. I believe that God can save him. I pray for him, but he is just like a 17-year-old kid he reminds me of. And I don't know what to do from here. We tried counseling, pastoral counseling. He did counseling, I did counseling, and I'm really like stuck.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it always amazes me when I hear someone like you say you really love him. I suspect you don't like him much, though. Is that right?
I don't like his attitude. I mean, recently his goal has been to get tattoos all over his body, and our oldest son's getting married in less than a month. And we have a 13-year-old boy, and mm-hmm. we have our marriage in crisis, and that's his focus.
Okay.
And when I tell him that, he said it's no big deal.
Yeah. So when you say you love him, what is it that you, what does that mean? What are you talking about? I love him, you said. What?
I love that he is a good father. He does provide for our family. He takes care of the household things. You know, there's nothing that he wouldn't do for our family.
So gave me a list of things that he does. You love what he does. What do you love about him?
I love that he's a strong, hardworking man.
Hmm. He just doesn't seem very lovable to me. When he's out there
really
betraying you time and time again. Sherry, what do you think? I mean, you wrote Intimate Deception. He's one of the guys you wrote about.
Yeah, Miriam, I think I'm a little worried about you. You know why? I think I'm worried about you because you're not able to see him for who he is. There's a picture in your mind's eye that isn't matching his behavior. And I think that picture in your mind's eye that isn't matching his behavior has been there, probably even when you first met him. You've got them on a pedestal. And until you get into looking at him and what he's done, and I would even say getting into reality about where you're at right now, you're not going to get better, and neither is he.
We'll be back after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Miriam. Miriam, what we are very sad for your sister. What is the question for us when you were calling us? What were you wanting us to answer for you? Or was there something you wanted us to answer for you?
I just don't know what to do from here, because it's a back and forth. Feelings of emotions of being the good Christian wife and staying there, and you know, and the commitment that we have and the love.
Do you
that
think?
I
no, wait a second.
I have.
Now hold on a second. If he if he goes out and has an affair, right? And then he contracts a sexually transmitted disease because you act like that never happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well. Is that enabling his evil, or is that being a good Christian wife? Is that allowing something evil to take place over and over again, or is that a Christian wife's role to watch her husband do anything and everything and just stay right there, no question? What do you think I'm going for here?
It's evil.
Yeah. And so we got to get you on board with doing the tough thing that you've avoided doing here.
So, Miriam, I was in a place that you were at. I'm just a little bit further than you, but there's something called betrayal blindness. It's a term used by Dr. Jennifer Freid. And she wrote a book called Blind to Betrayal, but the tagline of that book is so powerful because it says, while we're fooling ourselves, we're not being fooled. And I was keeping a secret from myself. There was a lot of sexual acting out going on with my former husband, Connor, and I. But I was colluded, in a sense, with the problem. He was in denial over his sexual issue, right? The sexual acting out, the compulsive, in your case, compulsive cheating. Right, serial cheating. And then I was in denial about what was really happening. And so together, we were a hot mess.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of see where you're at. Nothing is going to get better. You can't get help until both of you start getting into reality. And it's hard to face the fact that you've given 28 years to a man who's given himself to many, many, many women.
Well, and Miriam, it's good that you were able to set boundaries and not have him be in the house with you. But it seems like your boundaries have stopped at that point, and you want boundaries to be set that helps restore his integrity and helps to not enable his behavior. So if he's out of the house, what else are you encouraging him to do? He's got to get evaluation. It may be, okay, he's going to individual counseling, but is he also getting evaluated for his other, let's say, physical, out of control, emotional being abusive? There are sometimes medical things that can cause that. There are psychiatric issues that can cause that. Is he doing as much as he can, and is he repentant? And does he really work at trying to be better in the marriage, to treat you like a human being and a child of Christ?
What's the answer to those?
He's all of that.
Yeah, and so what happens is, I think some of us as women step into kind of a mom role. You know, moms are so loving that even if their son ends up killing somebody, they will show up and go to prison and sit outside and see him, right? And it doesn't matter what your child does, you stay connected as a mom. But that's different than being a partner. You're in more of a parent role. You're feeling like he's 17 years old. You're frustrated, but you're not partnering it with him.
Right.
And so what are you doing to look at that? I mean, like, I'm so glad you encouraged her in her boundary, right? It's the first step. But then it's like this part of you wants to have him come back home really quick. What are you doing to wake up to this fused line? Because I imagine if you and I were sitting together, we'd probably unpack something like this. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be by myself. I don't want to break up our family because it looks really good. I don't want to provide for myself. I don't know that I can be on my own. I mean, those are all the things that are underneath why a woman tolerates this much abuse and this much infidelity.
Do you connect with that at all, by any chance?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want you to get into your own care with someone who has the get it factor is in light of betrayal. Somebody who's not going to make you wrong and bad, but somebody's going to help you look at how your own trauma, right, from the past and situations that you're in right now are causing you to not be strong.
So, Sherry, if he walks in the door in about an hour, what are her words to him? What do you think is a way for her to communicate things are not going to be the same as they've been?
Yeah, I would probably have you say, you know what? I have been here with you for 28 years, and I know right now we're separated. And I'm getting the sense that you're not serious about working on your own recovery. And if I don't see some steps towards you getting into a sex addiction recovery support group, possibly coming to one of the Every Man's Battle weekends, getting in with a therapist who's trained and working with sex addiction, if I don't see these three things happening within the next 30 days, I'm not sure I can keep hanging on. And there may be some other things that I need to do in order to get safer. Because I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. So those are the three things I need. Now, those are not unreasonable things. Those things are there in place because it's a litmus test to see if he's really serious. He's just used to you being okay with him behaving like he's behaving. And so he's I mean, it's a revolving door, girl.
Right.
But you don't have to stay in that house with a revolving door. But you've got to do what you need to do to feel stronger and that you'd be okay to take care of yourself.
sometimes an unfaithful man will, when you say we need to be separate, they're kind of happy about that because now that removes a little bit of accountability, or it takes mom out of the picture there, even though you're the wife. In his mind, you're the mom that's trying to spoil his fun. Dr. Okamoto, you have thought here about this.
Yeah, so boundaries always help you decide where that person is. Is that person willing to treat you like a human being? Is it a healthy person? Is he a lovable person? Is it going to work? Does he, you know, is he repentant, and is he really changing his heart and wanting to be connected to you as a husband and a man of God, or is he just wanting license and doing what he wants to do?
I wrote a chapter for you, particularly Miriam. It's called No is a Complete Sentence. And it's in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And I want you to start there, my dear.
Okay.
I would also say it's a very healthy sentence.
No.
It's complete.
Yeah.
It's healthy. And there are many times when that sentence needs no clarification. But it's probably the toughest two-letter word to pronounce for a lot of people. All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you Sherry's book, Intimate Deception. I hope that it will be a blessing to you. I know it will. I hope that you can get to the Restore Workshop, or both of you come to the Intimacy in Marriage Weekend, where there is a tremendous, tremendous chance that we can help you beyond anything you ever imagined, pull together a very tough marriage or make a pretty good marriage pretty great. All right, let's go to, how about Gail, Denver, Colorado. Hi, Gail, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on with you today?
Well, God revealed to me about 4 years ago that I have some long-standing rejection issues.
Mm-hmm. How did God reveal that to you?
It was, I had been working on myself through work, trying to eliminate negative self-talk and have a, just be more positive and thankful in life. And it was maybe partly through a Bible study that I was attending to.
Great. Okay.
I'm the middle child. And a therapist that I've been seeing thinks that my mother may have borderline personality disorder, but she's never been diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My family doesn't know, that I'm struggling with these issues with, trying to work through it now that I know what it is.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, you think about what the question for us is while we go to this break. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody
has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Gail. And Gail, you with us here?
Yes.
Okay. So, Sherry, what do you think? Where should we go with Gail and all the things that that we could help her with? Because I think, the messenger said that we've got a rejection problem. Tell us about that, Gail.
Well, I think it's been with me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I've often struggled with depression.
Right.
I don't want to take the time to tell a story, but my mom would tell a story about when I was born that it makes me think that there were some bonding issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, it's so difficult to talk to my parents because they have always tried to, you know, pretend that we don't have issues and present a certain front to people outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're sure. Really brave, Gail. I would say probably right now with all your siblings, you're probably the bravest. And let me tell you why. Because to begin to be honest about what's happening, and I call this the end of pretend, where you begin to look at what's really going on and then start to have feelings over that and then start to figure out what you need to do with it. It's kind of like you start seeing stuff that you didn't see before and then you can't unsee it. And,
right.
Yeah, and so then your heart gets sad because you feel like, okay, I'm alone. But your grandmother, was she connected well with your mom?
I don't know, but
you
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah,
at
because
her funeral, my mom was speculating that she may have been schizophrenic.
Okay, so your mom didn't grow up with someone who was attuned to her. And your mom had no idea how to attune and attach safely. And so you're absolutely right? This bonding issue, but it sounds like maybe your mom tells the story and is trying to put the problem on you.
I don't know if it's on me.
Okay.
But she almost tells it like it's a funny story.
It's not funny.
No, not to me.
Of course,
and
not to
others who have heard it.
Yeah, and just so you see how she minimizes and makes light. That's somebody who doesn't want to own what they didn't provide for you. And so what happens when someone isn't owning what they didn't give you, I call those the traumas of omission. It's the good things we needed, but we didn't get. We didn't get delighted in. We didn't have a safe place. We weren't securely attached. Those are like as important as breathing and drinking and eating. And you didn't get that. And so instead of her owning it, she makes light of it. But this is the crazy thing about shame, is you end up feeling bad and wrong or ashamed about yourself. Like, you know, these negative feelings get pinned on you rather than pinned on where they belong. And so doing your work, beginning to tell yourself the truth about who you really are is a part of how you're going to get free. You're going to move out of the crazy lies that are stuck to you and get more into truth about, wow, I grew up in a home where I didn't get what I needed. I grew up with a mentally ill mom too. And so I understand the work that it takes to start loving you and caring for yourself when you didn't get that. What do you think, Dr. Akimoto?
Yeah, but so, yeah, when you said that you've gone through your own depression, when you know, I find that a lot of people who go through depression and they get to the other side of it, there is a lot of growth that happens. You just learn a lot about existing and about how moods are really important and how you see relationships in the world. And you understand emotional process now. You understand people. You understand how important it is to have healthy relationships and to be loved. And you know what that term more, you know more about what that means. But your mother, like you describe her as maybe borderline, doesn't have the emotional intelligence to know how to parent and how important it is to be attached. And it's not surprising that you have fears of rejection, or you are now leading the family in going towards truth.
Yep. So I'm going to send you this little book, Take Your Life Back. But I want to encourage you to do this. You've got to develop an identity separate and distinct from being your mother's daughter, because you have done something, you've achieved something that she could never help you get to. And you, for her to laugh at a trauma that you have, you know, is she insensitive, uncaring, or ignorant? All of those things happen when you have an illness that is really started deep in the soul and is played out in relationship, especially with a child. So somehow you have to find female relationships that are stronger than the relationship you have with your mother, so that she's in her proper place, proper perspective. So to me, that's the challenge for you.
I've kind of done that.
Good.
I used to, growing up, I used to fantasize about finding out I was adopted or switched at birth.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And the understanding the rejection issues helped me understand, why I always, when I'm around other families, it's like I was almost trying to graft myself to them.
Sure. Well, let me tell you something, and we're just about out of time. You actually were switched at birth. If you had been born in the garden, your parent, your mother, would have been a nurturing, loving mother. But because we live in a fallen world, she got switched out for the sick mother. The mother, this isn't the kind of mothering that God wants for his children. But sin is in the world, and we don't do what we can early enough to eliminate the impact of sin in our lives and the lives of the people around us. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
So you have to grieve that mother. You never had the mother that would have been there if Adam and Eve hadn't messed up. We're out of time. I'll send you 100 Days of Peace, which is our gift of any amount to anybody that can help us. We would love to help you. We've got some great things coming up. Every Man's Battle is May the 3rd in Orange County. So is Finding Freedom. And Intimacy in Marriage changes so much. That's June the 28th in Washington, D.C. Restore July 29th. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.